This article, written by Megan Brandsrud, who is a content editor of The Living Lutheran, is called Strive for Justice and Peace. We live in a violent world. While God's call for peace among humans is definitive, stories of sin in the form of violence are easy to find across the history of humanity, from biblical accounts to last night's leading news story. The effects of violence are far-reaching, and the church isn't immune. Rather, sometimes it's unsettling and deeply personal. On May 31st, an ELCA member was killed in a mass shooting in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And in June 2015, another member shot and killed 9 members of Mother Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, during a Bible study. This church acknowledges that it's composed of people who have been the victims of violence, who have perpetrated harm, and who work to protect against it. While living in this community together no doubt presents myriad challenges, this is the work of the church, as Lutherans are called to strive for justice and peace in all the earth, and to live out a gospel message that proclaims forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation. In 1994, the ELCA Church Council adopted the social message, Community Violence. Roger Willer, ELCA Director for Theological Ethics, said the church addressed matters of gun violence early in its formation, and that this message grew out of its understanding that focusing only on guns misses the depth and complexity of community violence. The social message provides a path for the church to address issues of violence together as a community of worship, education, and service, advocacy, and ongoing deliberation. Willer said a distinctive component of the social message is the position on restorative justice. People tend to think about justice as equality and getting a fair treatment. He says also if someone shoots someone, they get thrown in jail, and that's punitive, but that's a very shallow measure of justice. There is only true justice and true peace when the relationship that's shattered by that harm is healed. Larry Jorgensen, a retired ELCA pastor and a drafter of the social message, said this language of restorative justice can be traced back to Luke's gospel. He says this was an attempt to witness on the basis of what the church was all about. We resist hate, we love the enemy, and it's with recognition that this is often a radical-sounding thing. Willer agreed. He says, you don't find this message among police or politicians, but the church lifts up this aspect because we have people who are police officers, victims, and perpetrators. Because we have all those people, we see the more complex picture. Just as the issue of community violence itself is complex, so are the many and varied ways the church responds to its roles as peacemakers and justice seekers, guided by the healing power found in relationship together and in Christ. Addressing the issue of violence as a church includes working with partners in communities such as social service organizations, LSS Choices for Victims of Domestic Violence, part of Lutheran Social Services of Central Ohio, is the primary domestic violence agency in Franklin County, Ohio. The agency provides a 24-hour crisis hotline, shelter for families fleeing violence, counseling, transitional housing, and assistance navigating the legal process as it relates to reporting domestic violence. It also offers education throughout the community, including training churches how to respond to someone in domestic violence and advanced programs for nursing and medical students at local universities. One of the first steps in breaking the cycle of domestic violence and creating social change is to acknowledge that it is a societal concern. It's easy for us to think of domestic violence as someone else's problem or a family issue, says Sue Villillo, interim director of LSS's Choices and assistant vice president of community-based services. Given that 1 in 3 women in the U.S. will experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime, It's much more than an individual issue. We have created a societal structure where domestic violence is prevalent and perpetuated. It's impacting all of us, and we have to acknowledge and address it as a systemic issue. In January, LSS Choices moved into a larger shelter with a capacity for 120 people. Velillo estimates it will serve around 2,300 people this year. For the agency, domestic violence is seen as generational and cyclical. Boys are 10 times more likely to become abusers if they have been raised in an abusive household, she said. We see it, and we hear it from our clients, that this is something they experience growing up themselves. Because of that, they have some normalizing of the violence in their homes. One thing we do in the shelter work is work with the children who come in to help them develop some resiliency and to learn about healthy relationships. Velillo said LSS's Choices knows that the healing process is integral to helping break the cycle of violence, and it's a responsibility in which the agency places a lot of focus. It helps children identify feelings, acknowledge the negative emotions that are okay, and talk about ways to express themselves. We have case management and counseling within the shelter, she said. We also have family activities coordinator who helps get kids in school but also helps plan fun, normal activities for the people who are staying at the shelter, things like birthday parties. We do a lot of things to be able to connect with families and engage them in services and the healing process. It's so important. Part of this church's call to reconciliation includes embracing people who have perpetuated violence. The social message states that laws and their enforcement are necessary, while recognizing that these human-made institutions can be corrupted by sin, and that tough-on-crime policies can blind us to the injustices that breed violence in the first place. To build communities of faith inside and outside of U.S. prisons, Ed Nesselhoff, an ELCA pastor who died in 2016, started Prison Congregations of America in the 1980s. In 2018, ELCA member Renee Griggs became the executive director of the ministry. Previously, she spent almost 15 years in law enforcement in Florida, where she was the first female SWAT officer and the first female homicide detective in her department. When she was becoming certified as a police officer, she spent 11 months working in a men's jail, which is where she first learned about the depth beyond inmates' convictions. What happened was I was naive enough to be curious to ask inmates about their stories, and they were gracious enough to share them with me, Greg said. I learned that these crimes of violence don't happen in a vacuum, and everyone has a story. Griggs said these stories and the power found in people sharing them is the thread that shaped her career and led her to ministry. After she left law enforcement, she attended college for a master's degree in forensic psychology. She started working on post-conviction cases of people who had been convicted of homicide. I was considered a criminal behavior expert, she said. I understood criminal mindset and the roots of violence. And what I discovered was that no matter what techniques we apply, the one thing that worked every time was when people got a dose of Jesus. Once they learned who they were in Christ and were able to receive the unconditional love of God and grace and mercy, it changed their life. During all the time she spent inside prisons, Griggs found that the absence of love traces through the many intersections contributing to violence. Where there is an absence of love, there is an oversupply of fear, and that drives everything, she said. People respond from a dark place where love doesn't exist or where they don't recognize it. Referencing Romans 5:20, Grigg said, "It's out of this darkness that she has seen a radical transformation, and that she's never felt the Spirit more strongly than when she's inside prison." People in prison are desperate for God because they've lost everything, she said. They think what they've done is so bad that God can't possibly love them. But when they see the blood of Jesus is indiscriminate, and the cross really did take it all, no matter what, it changes things. And when you get around people who've been so hungry and thirsty for grace, and then they find it, you can't help but be moved and feel the Holy Spirit in that place. They're on fire because they didn't think anyone could love them. The jubilation from the reconciliation can't be put into words. Grigg said her career in law enforcement exposed her to flaws in the criminal justice system, and that now her perception of justice is different, which she likens to an element of Lutheran identity. She says, the Lutheran Church is all about both and it's messy, but that's life. This middle space is where there is healing, and I want healing to take place for the victim and for the person who did it. I define justice by where there is healing. Grigg said forgiveness is the key to that healing, and that's the hardest thing to do. The only way to get there is by looking through the eyes of Christ. Then all the other stuff falls away and you begin to see differently and perceive people differently, she said. For people to be a part of the healing process, they have to first find out what's behind their inability to give grace to this person when they're perfectly okay giving grace to this other person. It's painful to do this. It's like crawling through jagged glass. But when you're able to do it, that's when healing comes in, and that's where justice takes place. Yehiel Curry, bishop-elect of the Metropolitan Chicago Synod, can trace his path to ministry and the development of the congregation he served, Shekinah Chapel in Riverdale, Illinois, to a camp that was started to provide mentorship on constructive nonviolent leadership skills. The camp, called SIMBA, for Safe in My Brother's Arms, was started in 1993 by ELC leaders who saw an opportunity to create a rite of passage mentoring program for African American boys to learn about healthy ways to process emotions. St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Chicago began hosting a regular worship service called Shekinah Chapel to provide an opportunity for the Chicagoans involved in SIMBA to gather more frequently than the camp experience. As the chapel evolved into a broader worshiping community, Curry was called to be its lay mission developer and was ordained a few years later. My way to the Lutheran Church was through SIMBA, Curry said. I was never looking for the Lutheran Church. I was looking for a mentoring program, and they were already doing this in my neighborhood. Curry says he has a lot of gratitude for the church because it introduced him to a way to live out his mission. You've got to be in touch with your story because that's the only way mission comes alive, he said. My dad was murdered in the 1970s on the south side of Chicago. I know what it's like to be a victim of community violence. I know what it does to a family. I know what it does to children. I've lived in the communities that lead the news cycle every night, and I know that there is another narrative. I think it's our job to make sure that other narrative is out there. It took me a long time to get to this realization, but now I've been able to say that this experience, this major moment in my family's life, was so impactful that I began to dream of another way, and then found programs that were doing that work. I felt called to be a part of them, to journey with them. SIMBA eventually grew into a separate nonprofit called Rescue, Release, and Restore, of which Curry is a leader. It created two new programs, SIMSA, Safe in My Sister's Arms, which expands the mentoring camp experience to African American girls, and MILA, the Multicultural Youth Leadership Academy, a camp for teens to develop leadership skills for a multicultural world. Curry said these camps create opportunities for people to listen to each other, engage in dialogue, and understand how individuals can share their gifts and receive others. Relational practices, he believes, lead to constructive conflict resolution skills. He said the church, as a relational body, is well positioned to lead these practices. He said, when we listen to one another, we learn some things. The church can be the center of those listening posts. We can't deny, especially in Chicago, that it is a polarizing time. Allowing voices to be heard allows us to realize that we're more similar than different, and by learning this, people think twice and calculate the costs. Curry said a Shekinah parishioner, who is a conflict resolution specialist, has spoken at the church about what he has learned about people who have committed acts of violence. He says if those people would have waited 3 seconds, they never would have done it, Curry said. So that's our goal. We're fighting for those 3 seconds. Today, 25 years after its adoption, the community violence social message is all too relevant. Everyone is captive to the sin of violence, as its reach touches every community. But the gospel messages this church follows point to a way out and call on people of faith to be people of healing. Seeking justice and making peace is our avocation, Willer said. It's not our job, it's a way of life. This social message reminds us that it's a journey. God is already at work doing this, and is beckoning us to join.